It's now June 22nd. This is Russ Dizdar on Survive to Thrive, the radio network. Glad to be here with you tonight. I'm the guest host. Listen, information concerning us can be found at shatterthedarkness.net on the web. I don't know why they did it. I don't know why they followed him. I don't know why they mocked him. I don't know why they beat him. I don't know why they stripped him. I don't know why they hung him on the cross. You think in terms of what did Jesus do? What crime did he commit? What atrocity? I mean, you can think in terms of Hitler. You can think in terms of Stalin, Pol Pot. You can think in terms of many all over the world that have done atrocities and, listen, outraged by the community, outraged by individuals. Well, I can understand that. I can understand that very well. But listen, have you ever sat back and wondered why such hatred towards someone, well, who healed the sick, who raised the dead? He touched lives again and again and again with, well, incredible love. Incredible love and incredible kindness. Yet it was the Son of God, it was Christ, that was again and again and again. Well, they sought him. They challenged him. And yet we see his sinlessness. We see his character. We see what he has done. We see his power. We see on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So listen, as we now look into the extent of the sixth seal prophetic revelation, I mean, this is the scroll that only the Son of God, the same Christ we're talking about, only he has the right to open the exact, infallible, irrevocable future. And it's literally upon us now. The next big event, the Red Horse, the Great Chaos. And that will involve butchery, and that will involve the literal attack on believers, you know, around the world. Eliminating believers. We see the results of that in the fifth and sixth seal, where the souls of those who have been martyred are crying out. And if you look at that fifth seal, if you look at what God says back to the once martyred, dead, but now in heaven, believers in Christ, as they're crying out, God answers back and tells them that they are to wait until the rest of the believers, the rest of those who are going to be martyred, because, well, let me ask the question, why? Tonight, as we jump into Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we only have 1 hour together, and by the providence of God, may he speak to us, may he, grip our hearts and lives. Tonight's lesson is called The Sixth Seal and the Coming Edict for the Eradication of All Believers in Christ Worldwide. Hey, Thalipsis, hey, Megalis, the Great, the Tribulation. Now, people have talked about the tribulation, but there is within the 7 years the Great, the Tribulation. Hey, Thalipsis, that's the tribulation. Hey, Megalis, this is the vast, the huge, the unprecedented breaking out of the wrath of the Antichrist. The unprecedented breaking out of incredible thalipsis, tribulation, pressure all around the world. And the result of what occurs in this sixth seal, again, broken open and now poured out, we're able to read what was given 2,000 years ago. And it details the near future. And it gives, well, we have revelation on the abyss, revelation on the Antichrist, revelation on Armageddon. And none of those things have yet occurred as far as publicly. And this edict and I'm going to say this, to annihilate all believers in Christ. We're going to take a look at God's insight into a future, could be 4, 5, 6, 7 years away, I don't know. but it is an attempt. Now, there is also the goal of the annihilation of Israel. But please understand that when the Antichrist is in power, when he's visibly there, globalists are empowered. And the two witnesses are, witnessing to the world about God, about Christ, prophesying and demonstrating incredible works of God. Well, those committed to the Luciferic globalism will hate that. It seems like somewhere right around the middle of the Great Tribulation, the Tribulation time, it's as though the Antichrist goes crazy. It's the time of the breaking of the covenant with Israel, peace. The fake masqueraded peace is over. And I would say possibly, while the two witnesses are here worldwide, millions come to Christ. But it's very clear by the middle, by the beginning, stepping into the Hey Magali, the great, the tribulation, that an edict goes out to destroy all believers, all any human being that is believing in, confessing, and living for, and for Jesus Christ. And it's all about Jesus Christ. I mean, listen, well, take a moment. Let's sit back. We're going to look over the biblical days, the book of Acts, Rome today, and what is to come when it comes to persecution. You and I are sitting here. Listen, you're listening. I'm speaking. And I know a little bit about just basic verbal, a little bit of physical persecution. Not very much. Believers in Christ in the Sudan, in the Philippines, around the world, deep into Russia, especially in the 50s and 60s, in China, North Korea, in India, all around the world. There are human beings from different languages, different tribes, different political situations where they are attacked, they are killed, they are burned, they are maimed, they are tortured, they are slaughtered. And we need to go back again and say, why? Why in the world would you take a human being that says, God loves me, Christ is real, I love you, and I'll pray for you, and a real believer. I'm not talking about some fake, politicized, watered-down, corrupted, institutional, name-only Christianity that has brought in syncretism, and it doesn't even look like the book of Acts, doesn't even look like Christ. What I'm talking about, and where the real persecutions go. Listen, you know what happened? In Nazi Germany, the believers, well, I will say this, they were out to persecute believers everywhere, but they came up with a thing called positive Christianity, in which they tried to paint Jesus as a hater of the Jews and a backer of the concepts of Nazism. And try to literally build a counterfeit, state-run, Nazi-backed Christianity. Positive Christianity, they called it. And they wouldn't persecute that. Why? Because it wasn't the real thing. It wasn't the real Christ, the real power of God, the real presence of God. There is a spiritual conflict. Haven't we realized there is a spiritual conflict? That's why there's death, rape, robbery, guilt, loneliness, pain. It's why human beings rot physically in graves. We're torn apart from our bodies. Our spirits leave. That's why there's a heaven. There's a hell. There's a real devil. There's real radical evil. That's why the Bible predicts that the globe is decaying and breaking down, let alone oil spills, tsunamis, 9/11s, and all the rest. So what I'm going to share with you tonight is, listen, not the pretty picture of the end of days, Christ's return, glorified bodies, seeing God face to face, never a threat again in our lives. And at the very end where it talks about seeing God face to face and that God wipes away every tear, every emotional sense of pain, this incredible picture of the infinite, immeasurable, immortal, indestructible God personally wipes away this is where the annihilation of pain This is where the whole of the new beginning and eternal. This is what so many of us want. Some try to build their own utopia here. Some try to create their own religion and say that, you know, basically put God in their box and, you know, make out their own way. And they're not going to get there. You can't just tell God what you're going to do. Tell God that he has to sit in your box. You can't just make it up and say you're going to make it. It's simply not going to happen. In the sixth seal, which out of the seven, this enormous data is coming in. God is giving it. It was on a scroll, but it's being released. And there's only one that had the right. And I will say it again, remote viewers can't do this. Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Sylvia Brown, all the psychics, nothing of this information is in the structure of the Mayan prophecies. It's just not going to come from finite, fallen, limited, inaccurate source. It's going to come, as always, with infallible perfection. God declares in prophetic revelation what he is going to do, what mankind is doing, and what the satanic developments and what will occur. All the contingencies, all of the yes, no, will, not willed, all the things added together, God then is able to specify and even tell us what the emotional mentality and the verbal collective speech will be. Literally, he can say exactly, quote, individuals thousands of years in advance what they will actually be speaking. That's why I'm saying, if you want to know the future, I mean, people could talk about time travel and jumping out in the future and getting out in the future. Well, we haven't seen it yet. God doesn't have to time travel. He's beyond it. He's beyond time, operative in time, infinite with no time, no beginning or end. We're talking about God. It's hard to wrap around our minds, our finite, inaccurate, our ability. We can only go so far. You can only run so fast. You can only lift so much weight. You can only go without sleep so long. Everything in the finite sense spells limitation. And it's hard for us as finite, limited beings, with all of our experience, to understand perfect, infinite, immeasurable presence. Yet God is. And God can tell you in the next 5 minutes exactly what you're going to think, exactly what the impact of the Spirit of God will be in your life, exactly what's going to occur. He knows the day of your death. All contingencies put in together. He knows all the things. If I decide to stand up and run around the room and come back here, he already knows that. If I decide to stand up, pretend I'm going to run around the room, but then say, God, I'm not going to do it. Ha ha, I fooled you. God, listen, I only fooled myself, demonstrating my lack of understanding of the omniscience, the sheer, literal, detailed, minute omniscience. God knows where every particle, every molecule, every hair on your head, he knows everything, past, present, future, all infinitely and presently and eternally. He knows. God knows. You want to know who knows about your life? God does. He knows you better than you know yourself. You ever get confused? God does not. You ever get up and begin to walk across the room and then forget why you're walking into the next room? God does not. You ever lose your keys? Wonder where you put them? God does not. The absolute, infinite, perfect knowledge of God. So I speak by God's providence, only because I really do sense what he's doing in this hour and in this series. The psychics, the remote viewers, the others that get this. Those who have listened to the History Channel again and again and again, Nostradamus, you know, all these different things. Well, listen, if you're into wanting to know, predictions, why don't you come to the source? of where we find infallible, irrevocable, clear, explicit details to the point that God can say thousands of years in advance exactly what people are going to feel, what they're going to say, what they're going to do. Able to put it on paper as the Word of God does, giving us living words, and still not being altered. We can know details of the future, and that's what every believer listening right now should understand. You can know details of the future that is meant to literally help you live a pure and powerful and strong and fruitful life in Christ. As a believer in Christ, the more you know these prophecies, guess what? The more you look around the world and you say, well, you understand it. Some people don't understand the world and why it's going on as it's going on. Some people just can't fathom what's happening in the world. I mean, now you have secular, I listened to it now this morning, secular radio station talk show guys that aren't even nationally known. And they mention, what's this all about? What's Obama all about? What's the goals all about? What's the ideology all about? What are they really trying to do? What are the economists trying to do? What is this center in Sweden that monitors and is focusing all the funding and economics of the world? What is it all about? Well, they're all getting it. I mean, I hear George Norrie talking about it all the time from Coast to Coast and others. They're all getting it. Globalism. They're getting that it's here, that it's coming up above the surface of the waters like a shark's fin. We can all see the fin moving in the water. And there is clearly the ominous sense and feeling that connected to that fin is the beast that will devour. When globalism does rise to power, it is described in Matthew 24 as the worst, violent, spiritually deceptive, decadent time in all of human history. It will be the worst of the worst. Well, we can even say why. Jesus says 2,000 years ago to believers, so let me say hello to all the believers. Want to say thank you for the emails coming in. Thank you for the information coming in. Want to say thank you to Pat. Sent in the, 31-page document on the predictions of WebBot, the tech project on the web that may eventually begin to try to connect with the concept, anyway, of collective unconscious. Kind of reading the world mind, global mind. Now, in a technical sense, that's one thing. Research, that's one thing. But it's going way beyond that. I'm telling you now that many, many people in the area of research and physics and all kinds of those who are watching the globe, feeling the presence, wondering what's coming down the pike. Last night I couldn't contain myself. I was listening to Whitley Strieber talk to George Norrie and talking about his new book, The Omega Point, and unbelievably connecting New Age concept, 2012 concept, and then reducing the scripture to occult interpretation, astrological interpretation, and losing this broad, clear, infinite picture that God is giving and breaking it down into the, you cannot interpret the Word of God by occult means, astrological means, and reduce this incredible event of the Word of God, 1,600 years, 40 different writers, 3 different continents, 3 different languages, 1 author of the Word of God, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we're reading the Word of God, Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 7. And I'm going to write Whitney Strieber. I am. I've been praying for him for a long time. Been watching exactly the New Age concept, ufologist concept of spirits and entities. I hate the fact. I can't tell you. Listen, I want to rant a little bit. I hate the fact that that side is deceiving human beings. I hate the fact that individuals are being deceived, being misguided. 35 years ago, I was involved in the same kind of stuff. Leaving the body, listening to spirits, getting a hold of the ascended masters. To the point that I believed they were guiding me to, and my friend, to synchronize taking our lives so that we can be free from the physical body and be in the great universal and have all the knowledge of the universe, these voices, this presence. And I thank God to this very day that there was intervention, that we didn't do it. And that 2 weeks later, someone came to me that was filled with God, filled with Christ, filled with the power and presence of the love of God, and told me again that I was lost, what I needed. Christ was the answer. And the presence, the supernatural presence and power in that man, as I tried to run from him and hide from him, overwhelmed me. That's the night that I came to the living Christ, delivered from this deception of this unprecedented seduction that's going on. Well, Jesus spells it out in Matthew 24. And in the spelling out of seduction, deception, counterfeit, spirituality is number one. The number one thing Jesus began with is don't let anyone deceive you. It all begins with the layering of global saturation of spiritual deception, which will, again, create broader doors, wider doors, seep into political and military and economic ideologies, driving the world both in its rejection of the real Christ in God, acceptance of the counterfeit spirit of Antichrist and globalism. Oh, we've as bad as I can say it is, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. Once you get to the book of Revelation, the sixth seal of this event I'm about to read has not yet occurred, but it's going to happen, Christians. Real believers in Christ worldwide, this is going to happen. There's going to be an edict by the Antichrist, by the regime. They already know it. Listen, as I have dealt with undergrounders, they are already bloodlusting for Christian blood. It happened in the Gospels. It happened in the book of Acts. It happened in Rome for years and years and years. Happened in Russia. Happened in China. Happened in North Korea, South America, South Africa. Muslim countries to this very day. Well, let me tell you something. Whether you've read Fox's Book of Martyrs or a great sequel called By Their Blood, more believers in Christ martyred in the 21st century than in the entire history of the church. Most didn't know that. But more is to come. Revelation chapter 7 is a continuation of the prophetic unveiling of seal number 6. I'm reading the words of God, quote, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude," megas, a great multitude that no one could count. "From every tribe," listen, "from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." Now I pray that you will read Revelation 4, Revelation 5, Revelation 6, those chapters, all in context up to this point. They're wearing white robes, just like the martyred believers in chapter 6 under the fifth seal. Those that were under the altar crying out, those who had been martyred, they also had white robes. Redemptive, robes of redemption, robes that identify, robes that declare the purity of their being cleansed by the blood of Christ, of their lives now. Clothing of redemption. That's what the blood of Christ, Christ on the cross, brings his righteousness given to us. We're clothed, robed. And so the sight is this visible prophetic vision in drama, prophetic drama, pictorial communication. You know, so we have this multitude. Listen now, listen, every nation, every tribe, every people, every language. Global. Russians, Chinese, Americans, Canadians, out of India, out of South Africa, out of Kenya, out of Brazil. Around the world, every nation, every tribe, every people group, every language spoken. Do you understand the implication? Plotted deep under the surface of globalism is the, going down to the deepest level, are the elite Luciferians that already have the playbook, that already have this as a part. God is revealing the playbook, what, well, Satan, the fallen cherub, the core globalist elitist leadership is planning. In their playbook, this final solution of Israel and any believers in Christ, by the time we come to the middle and going into the second half of the tribulation, we are now moving to the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Megalos, the great, the tribulation. It's going to be a time unprecedented in all of human history, these events. But there is plotting, there is planning, there is actually, let's ask the question before we come to the break. If believers that have, human beings out of Russia, China, North Korea, South Korea, France, England, Sweden, who does the killing? Who's going to bring them to death? We're going to answer that. Let's listen to Steve Quayle here for a few moments. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Thank you, Steve. We are back now to the second half of the hour. I don't know if you've looked yet or not. ShatterTheDarkness.net is our main website. We are the guest host tonight for Steve, Survive to Thrive, the radio network. We're glad to be here. And we appreciate you as listeners and, again, thousands of you and many of you that have been downloading the archives later on. It's doubled, even in this month alone. We've watched even as the downloads of, and we know that Steve has his own archives, and I'm just saying in our recordings and our stuff, we're watching a doubling, and it's very good. And we're seeing a lot of great interaction. A lot of you are asking for help, and we've been able to give some lately. I've got phone calls tonight to give to individuals, and tomorrow, and Thursday, and probably Friday. We'll be out on a team Friday night, evangelism, but also searching and dealing with the underground stuff and engaging it. Spiritual warfare is involved. So we would ask believers everywhere to keep us in your prayers. Remember that the time slot that Steve has given to us, Shatter the Darkness Hour, 6 to 7, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We are looking for the sponsorship. So if you're interested, just go to shatterthedarkness.net, scroll down, left-hand side, you'll see where it talks about support. Tonight, again, thank you for the emails. Thank you for the just the kind words. And I want to say that we know that many believers in Christ listen. We also know from the emails that there are those who have been, background, remote viewers, military individuals, and special forces, and some of those that we have called satanic chosen ones. Individuals that claim to be a part of the underground system that say they will help bring, through a coming chaos and anarchy, they will help bring about the day, the rise, the apocalypse of the Antichrist. Now, they look at him as the supernatural, shining serpent leader that they've been waiting for, maybe even hearing from over the years underground-wise. Do you realize how many rituals are going on? Listen, if you get a chance, when you go to shatterthedarkness.net, look into the series. We got a number of series going on. Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. As I say there is no advance to the satanic agenda without the manifest powers. And Americans and Canadians and Europeans need to realize how vast, how deep, how broad, how wide the underground rituals that open doorways. I mean, you think of Bohemian Grove as one of many. I would say 98% of the underground places have not been found out, bathed in supernatural secrecy. But here we are tonight to talk about what that power being released, demonic powers, into the air, into individuals, guiding political ideology, military ideology, economic ideologies. You got to realize all the money is going somewhere, and you do realize that Antichrist will need trillions to rise out of the ashes of the chaos to build a global world political order, backing the most supernaturally induced, powerful, technologically advanced military in all of human history. Well, in the context of all of that, part of the playbook, it's going to happen when the chaos breaks out. There will be believers killed all over the place. I believe already they are targeted, and that when all hell breaks loose, we've said this last week, yesterday, you can get the archives and listen to kind of the sequence of this series. And that's nothing in comparison when we come to the middle part, or breaking into the, maybe even the fourth year of the last seven years. It's known as the tribulation, but there is the Hei Thlipsis, Hei Megalos. Now, you can take a look at that if you want to, and you can read that in verse 14. In this picture of martyred individuals, Russians, Chinese, South Korea, North Korea, America, Canadians, Australia. Listen, here's what God says about the future. Maybe 4 or 5 years away, I don't know. Every nation, every tribe, every people group, every language. You know, there's well over 1,500 other languages out there. And human beings from every nation, tribe, people, and language group that have heard the gospel and have received Christ. Aborigines that have received Christ. Eskimos that have received Christ. Swahili that have received Christ. Anywhere and everywhere around the world, in every nation, among every tribe, among every kind of people group, and of the languages. I've read here lately where biblical the scriptures have been translated into 1,700 other languages around the world. Now, when the edict or the declaration or whatever is passed by law, by edict, I believe without question, this is where the attempt to annihilate off the face of the earth every believer in whom the Spirit of God dwells and get them out of here. Because they are an interference to the manifest presence of satanic power. Again, reading the rise of Babylon, Revelation 18, the world becomes saturated in the manifest sense, demonic presence, power, in everything. You've got to understand, this is way beyond Daniel's day and the demonic manifestation, the temples and so forth. We're talking that when all hell breaks loose, the great chaos, which that means, well, they call it, listen, if you want to know what the undergrounders refer to it as, a counterfeit satanic Pentecost. If you're a believer in Christ and you understand that the day of Pentecost was this ushering in of the manifest power of God clothing the believers for the great mission to reach the world for Christ. Well, I've heard it for years in my understanding of the literature underground, but more so precisely the Word of God itself. I believe there's going to be a great unleashing. We've had a frog in the kettle evolutionary approach, but there's going to be a wave. In my book, The Black Awakening, I mentioned two of them. At the timing of the great chaos, the great revolt, I believe, will be initiated by dark powers. And the manifestation of dark powers in the midst of the chaos and the bloodshed will be unprecedented, unequaled in all of history. Now, if you read about the red horse that leads to the black horse, that leads to the pale horse, the events, the global impacting events, you realize that millions have died, massive scarcity in monies, food, death is all around, plagues, and even what is called the wild beasts of the earth are killing up to a fourth of the people of the earth. And then we come to the fifth seal, where we find millions of believers probably that have been taken out during that first part. There's a Greek word used concerning the red horse that's also used in reference to those who'd been slain that are under the altar there in heaven. Svadzo, meaning a violent butchering. It's a term that is used in butchering animals and in animal sacrifice. So the forensic, satanic, demonic revels that will occur will eventually lead to this. The ultimate goal of the satanic playbook is to annihilate the presence of God in the earth. And if there are millions and millions and millions of believers, especially new ones that have come, and they all have, the real believers, they have the Spirit of God in them. Well, that's what brings the manifestation of the presence and the power of God. Real believers are those who have the Spirit of God in them, clothed with the power of God to do the mission of God. So if you look at all, by the time of the mid part of the tribulation, going into the great tribulation, the beast of the abyss eventually comes and kills the two witnesses. So I don't know the exact timing. I just see it somewhere in the center. So there's a breaking out of breaking the covenant with Israel, eventually the opening of the abyss and the killing of the two witnesses, where all of those committed to the globalist Luciferic dream are giving parties and gifts and celebrating the death of the two witnesses of God. And then there is an edict. And this shows us that believers in every, again, every nation you can think of, every tribe, every people group who speak every language, it tells me two things. Number one, that the gospel, Jesus said that he would not visibly return until the gospel was presented to every nation, tribe, people, language, the whole earth, the globe. That was a condition. God's agenda is to get to every man, woman, and child, not willing that even one would perish. You can read that in the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all ethnos, all nations. The clothing of the power of the Holy Spirit was to come, Book of Acts chapter 1, to come upon us to be witnesses. Right there in the immediate place, and then to swell out to the rest of the world. So it's global. It's a global mission from God to reach every human being. And if you're listening by the providence of God and you don't know God, I want you to know today that you can know God. Christ is after you. God is after you, summoning you. Come. Come home. Come to the living Christ. The Bible simply says that whosoever believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you have come to recognize this is God in human flesh. This is the Savior of the world. This is what he's done at the cross. This is the blood that he shed, the death he died, the resurrection that was done by the power of God as Scripture said. And just as Scripture said, Jesus said, John's Gospel chapter 7, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me as the Scripture has said, out of their inmost being, the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life will come to you. Don't you want to come to Christ? What could be the reason you would not give and open your life to the living Christ who died for you, that's knocking at your door, wanting to come in on the inside? Don't wait any longer. Let the power and presence and grace and forgiveness and might and gift of eternal life, let Jesus Christ come into you right now, wherever you are. And I'm calling you by the Spirit of God to repent, to turn to Christ now. Military man, politician, Luciferian, psychic and remote viewer, quester, lonely man or woman listening, come to Christ now. He's waiting, calling. That's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ that has put me here in this one divine moment. You know that the world is breaking down. There's a reason. Radical, real, satanic, demonic, radical evil is on the rise as never before, manifesting as never before, developing the agenda as never before. And part of that agenda, after the great chaos, after the scarcity, after the death and the Hades and the fourth of humanity being wiped out, we come closer to the middle part, if not into the fourth year, the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Megalis, the great, huge, from this point on, when all of these human beings who believed in Jesus Christ. So it tells me the gospel got to every nation, every tribe, every people group, every language. Some say there's 280 million Christians in China. There are Christians in North Korea, Christians in Saudi Arabia. There are Christians in places where they got to hide, have church and worship service at 2 a.m. in the morning in a basement somewhere. There are believers down in Kenya, down in South Africa, down in Bangalore, India, over there in the Philippines, there are believers all over the world who's believed on Jesus Christ. The whole book of Revelation is the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. So when you look at all the things and factors, please understand the accurate, infallible, clear, definitive glimpse into the future. This, you and I are looking at a glimpse into future history. You know, it tells you also that in order for millions around the world from every tribe, nation, we're talking about a global conquest of taking out all believers in Christ. It's a goal, a conquest. the question now is, who is going to do the slaughtering? Under the revelation of the red horse, second seal, peace is taken from the earth, mankind, it goes just simply telling you what's going to happen in a slaughtering, a butchering of humanity. But further into everything, maybe by the beginning of the 3.5 years, fourth year, somewhere around there, a breaking out, somebody had to give the order. But please hear me now, there has to be Antichrist committed globalist Luciferian individuals, human beings, clearly who's going to be willing to take the mark, worship the image, be a part of Armageddon. Who does kill? I mean, in the days of Nazi Germany, SS troops, who killed? Who was a part of shoveling human beings into the ovens? Committed to the agenda. In every nation, tribe, and people group, and language, there will be servants of Antichrist. And when the edict is given, the call is given, they're going to be unleashed. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm just telling you experience over the years as I've dealt with underground super soldiers trained to be as they claim to be the troops of Antichrist. See, there's no regime, there's no Antichrist without the troops to enforce. He's got to have the troops. He's got to have the backing. He's got to have the political and military. That's why I've said over this last year, again and again and again, the number one targets in this seductive, spiritual, evolutionary, layer-by-layer, deception that's been going on are the politicians and the military men and women, the leaderships, to move them to globalism so that when all hell breaks loose, and a new regime begins to rise up and say, here we are to save the day. We got a new plan for the world. We're going to save the world. We're going to save the economics. We're going to save the environment. We're going to stabilize everything. Well, that's where everybody's going to go. They're going to control the food, the money, everything, and everybody's going to be yielded that way. And eventually, when the spiritual presence is so broad, so wide, so thick, dark-wise, I'm talking. It's how it's always been in Rome. Why did they slaughter? I mean, I'm going to ask again the question before we end this one-hour segment tonight. Why? Now, you can go back and read Alice Bailey's book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, where the demonic ascended master, or they call it the Tibetan, dictated and outlined the satanic demonic agenda, which includes the cleansing. It includes literally the annihilation of human beings that will believe in the real Christ, who have the spirit of Christ in them, who will not give in to the New Age spirit, Antichrist spirit. They're going to be identified spiritually from the demonic, satanic sense. They have to be eliminated in order for the full-blown manifest regime to come and be in power, because it's a spiritual battle ultimately. Behind the political, behind the military, behind the voice of the Antichrist, behind all of it, the book of Revelation gives a picture of the dragon, this global presence that's leading the whole world astray. And if you do not understand this, it is all done by that secret power of lawlessness that's already operative, that's in conjunction with the apocalypse of the man of lawlessness and counterfeit science. There it is. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 is sequentially in agreement with what Jesus said in Matthew 24, and sequentially in agreement with what we're reading here in Revelation chapter 6 and 7. And sequentially in agreement with 2,600 years ago, the book of Daniel. Spiritual deception, the rise of the counterfeit, want to be God, war on the saints. It's all there. You got to take the time to study systematically, again and again and again. You are reading words given by the Spirit of God, preserved. They are infallible. They're alive. Here they are. It would be no different than if you sat next to Paul, sat next to Daniel, sat next to John, and as soon as they wrote it under the inspiration of the Spirit and handed it to you, and you begin to read, let me tell you right now, the same Spirit of God that inspired the initial immediate writings is the same Spirit of God that has brought all of His Word here today infallibly with the same living, breathing power and presence of God in these words. And they were meant for you as a believer to know backwards and forwards so that you can evangelize, speak to the world and warn it prophetically. Do you know who's got the hour? You know who's got the attention of the military and secular society? Inaccurate, from dark, masqueraded as light, finite sources, they're listening to Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, the psychics, and now the remote viewers, and the 2012 John. And they're being presented with some pieces of accuracy, overwhelmingly inaccuracies, and an alternative spiritual prophetic future that ultimately will not come about. Here's what's going to actually happen. This will come down. And when the attempted annihilation of every single human being who's indwelt by the living Christ as a spiritual cleansing, guess what? Like Stephen, who looked up, the Spirit of God and of glory was on him. His face shone like that of an angel. Why? Because he was indwelt with the Spirit of God and of glory. You read about the Spirit of God and of glory in the book of 1 Peter when we're suffering and when we commit our way to our Savior, to God. Stephen was just seconds away from leaving his body and going to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're all going to die. Many, though, in the future will die by martyrdom. They're going to die by martyrdom. Though they are eliminated here on the earth, guess what's going to happen? They're all going to be standing instantaneously. That's why we have this revelation. See what it says in verse 9? After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude. What John saw 2,000 years ago in the unveiling of prophetic, predictive content, this event, which has not yet occurred, but may be a number of years away, what he saw is what you and I are looking into right now. The sixth seal, the satanic agenda of the cleansing from the earth. Georgia Guidestones, better find out who put that information up there. The concept of the reduction of billions of people down to a 500 million manageable number, I'm telling you right now, comes off of the propaganda sheets, Satan's desk, hell's kitchen. God's the one that unveils. He's the one that shows all that's going to be happening. I hope you're reading it. I hope you're looking at it. I hope you know Jesus and God's love and God's gift of salvation. These people weren't there crying and saying, oh, look what happened to us. No, you know what they're doing? They're looking at God. They're looking at Christ. They are absolutely embraced. God spreads His tent, His blessing over them. They're never going to hunger. They're never going to thirst. The hot sun's not going to beat on them. And did you read the end of this revelation, this sixth seal? The words, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Total and eternal healing. What side of the fence do you stand on? Listen, if you don't know Christ and the Spirit of God, all the presence may be encroaching in your life and layering you, preparing you. Will you be dragged into the system that will eventually seek to annihilate human beings because they believe in the love of God in Christ? That's why they did it in Rome. That's why they shredded believers in Rome and tortured believers in Russia and killed and annihilated believers in China, even to this day. Well, my dear friend, we're out of the time, the end of the hour. This is guest host Russ Dizdar at Survive to Thrive, the radio network. Glad you're here. We'll be back tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Hey, God bless you, and good night.